Welcome to the Sportscast, June 10th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. If you're an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can also listen to us in your smart speaker as well. Don't forget to get our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Also, go visit our website, thesportscast.net. The United States and Canada is a rivalry brewing. They beat Canada in penalty shootout yesterday, and it was a glorious win. Probably the most exciting Gold Cup match I've seen in a while. And joining us back from his 4th of July vacation, Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santeep, thanks for having me.
What a match, Hal, last night. It was late. I wasn't planning to stay past 10 o'clock as usual. This thing went to midnight. Your thoughts over yesterday's match?
Well, it was an unpredictable and really fun match once the duck was broken and they actually started scoring goals. The first one I thought was a really fine goal by Vasquez. And I think everyone at that point expected the Canadians to roll over, or at least that they had been unable to generate anything on their own up to that point, or very little. I think the penalty kick that they tied the game with was their first shot on goal. So, but they did score and tied it. And then they took the lead in overtime with a great goal by a young Nashville player who really showed some great form, I thought. Schaffelberg really got some wheels and finished beautifully. Anyway, a great game. And we can talk about the shootout more. They're so controversial, but man, for drama, they're really difficult to beat. And in terms of overtime, you know, mechanisms to decide winners, I mean, what's better than that? I mean, people always find fault with PKs. We can talk about it some more. It's an interesting topic, but you know, overtime in an NHL playoff game, that's fun, but it can also go on for an hour and a half and be a bit of a death march. Thrilling finish.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Let's do the breakdown here. Brandon Vasquez scored in the 88th minute. It was a fantastic goal, actually. He gave the 1-0 lead. But then Steven Vitoria tied the game with a penalty kick by a handball, because of a handball by Miles Robinson, which he had another occasion earlier in the match where they almost called a penalty. This time it happened, and it gave the tie 1-1. It was headed to overtime, of course, extra time. You got to have winner because this is the tournament bracket. Then Jake Schaffelberger, who came in from the bench, put Canada ahead in the 109th minute. The whole thing was quiet. The bar that I was at was super quiet. We thought we lost it. But a couple minutes later, 115th minute, Scott, a own goal by Canada, Scott Kennedy, which It was an ugly own goal, tied it 2-2. Your thoughts on those four goals, Hal?
Well, let's work backwards. The own goal was obviously very unfortunate for the Canadians, but it was actually a really great attempt on goal. It was swung in from a corner kick. It was headed down and on the line. A great save by the keeper, St. Clair. Ball pops right back out, hits the Canadian defender, Kennedy. He knew nothing about it, and over the line it goes. So, they generated chances. The U.S. deserved to win this game, if only because of that. They generated more chances than the Canadians did. But again, Schaffelberg's goal to give the Canadians a 2-1 lead in the first overtime period, it was a beautiful goal. And Brian Reynolds, the right back for the U.S., he's had a pretty good tournament, and he's going to be, I think, a fine player. He's got speed, but man, he's going to have nightmares about Schaffelberg because he schooled him. And he didn't just school him on the goal. The first time I saw Schaffelberg come on, he just ran right by Reynolds. And Reynolds had played an entire game at that point, and Schaffelberg was fresh, but good player. And that's what the interesting thing is about this tournament for the Canadians and the U.S. These are B teams. These are all professionals. They're all playing in MLS or in various domestic leagues. It's not a bunch of scraps, but this is the second tier. They're getting great experience. And the Canadians, I think it's fair to say, have shown that their bench is deeper than we may have anticipated. There was certainly nothing to separate the U.S. from Canada on this night, except for a shade of gray here and there. I think the U.S. is deeper, but, you know, they couldn't generate anything for 88 minutes until Vasquez gave them the lead. Great goal and a great service from Jones into Vasquez on that goal. The tying goal was a penalty kick, and Robinson's lucky that they didn't give him two handballs, because that first one should have been called as well.
It should have been called. And then after that, it was 2-2 extra time, went to penalties, which I have not seen the Gold Cup in a while. Maybe Hal might have a better memory than I do. But it came down to the first kick by Canada was blocked by Turner himself. Then Brandon Vasquez missed it, went over the crossbar.
Yeah.
And then Liam Fraser also got blocked by Matt Turner. Matt Turner actually said before the penalty shootout, "Hey guys, I got this. I will win it for you guys." Well, and Kate Cowell, fantastic match. Yes. 19 years old. He looks like 25, but he's 19. He scored. Then Kamal Miller from Canada scored. Then Gianluca Bustillo scored. Jacob Russell Rose scored. Jesus Ferreira, okay match, scored. Then Charles Andres Brim missed. And we won the shootout 3-2, which we haven't won since 05, apparently.
You mean that was the first penalty kick shootout that we've won since
05? We've won since 05.
I'll take your word for it. You know, a lot of tournaments are going straight to penalty kicks in these preliminary rounds because they don't want people to get tired. They think that the overtimes aren't action-packed enough. This game flies in the face of that stance because the overtime was the best part about the game. Let's go to the penalty kick shootout because it was really interesting to me. They're all interesting to me, but I think PKs get sort of a bad rap as a terrible way to decide winners. I think that's wrong. And this showed us why. First of all, before the thing even happened, there was a dispute on the coin flip as to what side of the field the shootout would take. And the Canadians do have an interest in putting those shots at an end of the field where maybe, you know, Sam's Army is not. So apparently there was a dispute about that. I'm not sure who won it, but I do know that there was bad blood between Turner and Vittoria, the two captains, on that very first shot. And that the teams are obliged to stay in the center circle. And for whatever reason, I've never seen this in my life, they refused to take up residence in the center circle, both teams. And when they didn't, neither one wanted to be the team to give in and actually go where they were supposed to go. So there was this comical scene of the referee's assistants trying to move them. They just weren't even looking at them. And finally, I think the Canadians gave in because they're polite. The Canadians are very polite. And they finally gave in. And then the U.S. Followed suit. But, you know, back to the actual shots, Stephen Vittoria, the giant center back for Canada, took the penalty kick that tied the game in regulation. And he hit it right down the middle. And Turner had guessed, you know, two Turners right. So who do they send up first to take penalty? The Canadians send up Vittoria. He's already taken a penalty. That's a very difficult thing to make two penalties in one game against the same goalkeeper.
That might be not smart to do.
Well, I don't think it was very smart, honestly. And here's why. Because generally, keepers guess. But if in a penalty shootout where you're going to face five shots, it's smart to not guess at least once early in the process. Because once you do that, once you stand your ground, then no one's going to ever panenka you again. And what happened was Vittoria tried to go down the middle again on Turner. Bad move. Turner stayed at home, saved the shot. And then after that, Turner knows that the Canadians are never going to try that again. And sure enough, he stopped a couple shots after he guessed right. And can't guess right every time. But I think there's really fun strategy involved. And Turner is, look, he's not a perfect goalkeeper, but he is an outstanding shot stopper. And he's quick. He anticipates. So he's a perfect keeper to stop penalties. And he showed me a lot by standing his ground on that first kick, because that's really good tactics.
Yeah. A huge win by Matt Turner in the U.S. A lot of young guys, 3-2. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the FOT Mob ratings. Jones had an 8.1, the highest for the U.S. And the other ones were a lot of 7.8 by hands, and that was the second highest. Then Usyk was also had a good match as well. But which of the U.S. team did you like the most from this match?
First of all, Santi, a question. Where do these fan ratings come? Where do these ratings come from?
I think they come from stats.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, possession, and they kind of have an algorithm with that.
Well, Robinson didn't have a good game in that he really should have given up two penalties. But other than that, I thought he played well. He's just a very mobile and aggressive defender. Reynolds, like I said, I thought 7.2 was a little high. He looked out of his depth against the winger, Scharfenberg, when he came on. Jones, I thought, was fine, but he didn't ever run at anybody. He just served the ball over and over again. At the beginning, it was interesting, when they were down 2-1 in the overtime, the commentators were making note of the fact, quite rightly, that the U.S. was sort of just passing it around the perimeter of their defense as the Canadians packed it in against them, and it was going to require something else. They had to start dumping the ball into the box. There were 7 minutes left in the game. They had to tie it, and you know who actually served the ball that did result in the goal, or in the corner kick that resulted in the goal? It was Matt Turner. He got the ball at some point because someone else didn't want to look up the field or take anybody on, and he got it and just launched it into the box, and presto, changeo, corner kick, service, goal. So they were a little bit, I go into that detail because they were a little bit out of ideas, the U.S. was, trying to get that second goal in the second overtime. They were tired. They were despondent. They couldn't believe that this team that had so little offensive initiative against them had taken the lead against them. It was all good fun. I thought Miller has shown himself to be an excellent defender for the Canadians. Vitoria, I'm a little less convinced by. He's a huge dude. He's certainly great in the air. These are guys that I don't know. I know Jonathan Osorio. He played a nice game in midfield for them. He's a known quantity, but this dude Ahmed Laria is the number one we know is quality, but these are guys that we don't know necessarily, and they all showed very well. They're all MLS players. It's MLS versus MLS in a sense, and you know, it proved a pretty darn even matchup. I love the rivalry with Canada going forward. The US and CONCACAF need another stud team to make these games fun. And we can talk about Mexico's progress in this tournament too, but we have a pretty interesting semifinal coming up.
Yeah, we do have Panama next this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the other matches, let me point out the substitutes that came in.
All right.
Brandon Vasquez had a 7.6 rating, Keikau 6.2, Matt Miazga 6.7. Evan, he almost scored.
He almost did score, but he just looks, he reminds me of Gonzalez, you know, the other towering center back that we had in the
city. I remember him. Yeah.
Yes. Just not quick enough. He's too tall. And I think some might say that about Vitoria too. It's very hard to play center back at 6'5". You're just playing against smaller, quicker guys too frequently. And it's a difficult thing. Jordan Morris just continues to look terrible. I don't know why they keep calling him into the team. There've got to be strikers in MLS that are more worthy than he. I just don't see that he has any future playing for the A team. So why is he there? Really an amazing journey Jordan Morris had when he was an underclassman at Stanford. The U.S., I think under Klinsmann, went out and scrimmaged at Stanford Stadium. They may have played Stanford in a scrimmage. Jordan Morris was apparently a world beater, scored twice against the U.S. A team, the USMNT A team. And that was his debut. That's what got his attention, that Jurgen Klinsmann's attention. But, you know, he's never come very good, let's be fair. And I'd like to see someone else filling this spot and priming them for, you know, future USMNT duty. And, you know, Jordan Morris can play MLS, and good luck to him.
Yeah, which Morris, he was about to play in Germany, but then he decided to stay in Seattle, I believe.
That is the rumor. It's all secondhand information. I think a lot of that information comes from Jermaine Jones, who I think was counseling him to go to Germany, which, if it's true, this would have been a really good idea. Would have toughened him up. Would have just, you know, you've got to push yourself. And I don't think Jordan Morris has. And as a result, he hasn't gotten any better That's the only way. It's just like youth soccer. I mean, when you're 12 and you're good and you go up and play with under 14s, you're going to get better. Morris never put himself in that position.
Which yesterday, Landon Donovan actually suggested Pulisic to come back to the MLS before the 2026 World Cup. I'm not sure about that.
No, I think he's right where he needs to be. I found it, you know, I'm glad that he signed with AC Milan. I don't know how many, it seemed like every time they talked about a prominent U.S. player, you know, who's been in Europe, the idea of them signing with AC Milan was floated. Three separate guys, not just Pulisic, but, oh, and now I'm blanking on it, but Aronson was rumored to go there and someone else. And I'm glad that somebody signed with them because I think they can all play. But Milan's not going to take a chance on three Americans. That's a great place for him. Now, look, 2 years from now, who knows what position he'll be in? Who knows how much time he will have earned there or elsewhere? And yeah, why not come back and play in MLS for a spring? You know, if the tournament starts in June or July, yeah, if you're not getting the time, go back and play for the Galaxy or something like that and get some minutes. It worked for Gareth Bale.
It did. One of the things about this match is that I really liked is that it's going to bring a lot of momentum when we play Panama. On Wednesday, so this is going to really waken us up a little bit. Which of these players do you think can, you know, get into that A squad? I know like a lot of these players are kind of like, you know, B team role players, but which of the players do you like the most that can make it into the A squad?
Let's dispatch the idea that this is a B team straight away. Matt Turner is our starting goalkeeper. Miles Robertson is one of the starting center backs, I think, in a perfect world. Ferreira, love him or hate him, started three games in Qatar. Buzio has been a solid player, and Zendejas obviously is playing for Club America in Liga MX. He's not a chump. Mihalovic, I think, is going to be a player. I love watching him. And Sands, I thought, did a really nice job in the middle of the field. He really shouldered a lot of the possession for this team and did it ably and looked forward, wanted to take it at people, switch the fields really effectively. You know, he plays for Rangers. He's not a chump. So this is, there's a lot of guys here. And, you know, Neil is a young player, has showed very well. I don't think he's as good as Chris. Oh, the fellow who was at
Chris Richards.
Thank you. Blanking on his name. Similar players, sort of rangy. But obviously,
highly touted too. Highly touted.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been, yeah. So, not to look for. Obviously, there's a lot more games left. So, we'll see what happens this upcoming week. Let's look into the past scores. There was one other match we had yesterday was Jamaica beating Guatemala 1-0. The goal came in the second half, kind of tight game. Were you able to watch that match?
I watched a little bit of it. The Guatemalans really packed it in against Jamaica, but I think we've got the semifinal that we want. I think the more interesting quarterfinal was Costa Rica and Mexico on Saturday night. That was a really good match. And the first half was back and forth. It really was a fine match. And the Costa Ricans looked really good and looked really good in tight spaces against Mexico and held their own, generated chances, were as dangerous on the counter as Mexico was in their greater possession. The second half just fell apart. But, you know, I'm not familiar with a lot of these guys. Joel Campbell, obviously, we know from Costa Rica's side. And I thought that 6.3 is shortchanging him. I thought he was very good playing hold-up striker against, by himself, 1v3. This Alcacer fellow, number 8, really a good player on the left wing. They have him here centrally, but he played out left, and 5.8. I don't know where that came from. He played a great match. This is probably factoring in the fact that they ran out of gas completely and didn't play a very good second half. But Contreras, another player I don't know, looked very good. And Nunez, I don't know who he is, but he's a number 10 and wants the ball at his feet, and I thought was really good. Some new faces for Costa Rica. They've always been a good side when it comes time to qualify, and I would tip them to be one of the favorites in the absence of Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. come the octagonal prior to 2026. But the Mexicans did not look great. They played a decent second half. They scored one good goal and one lucky goal. I think maybe it was an own goal.
One was a penalty.
Yeah, it was a penalty. That's right. It was not, they didn't generate anything there. But look, they're still alive. But I'm going to say it here. I think the Jamaicans are going to take him down. I don't think this team can keep Jamaica from scoring.
It's a strong possibility.
Yeah. If this game opens up and the Mexicans may be too proud to pack it in against Jamaica, if they play Jamaicans straight up, they're going to give up goals. And I don't know that Mexico can score enough to keep up with Mikel Antonio and Damari Gray and their likes going forward. Jamaica and Panama, I think it's safe to say, look at the teams against them, not in the tournament necessarily as a whole, but now in the semifinals, they see this as a tournament they can win. And if you don't think that Jamaica and Panama want to win this tournament, you're wrong. They don't get a chance to win the Gold Cup very often. They don't get a chance to win a big competition very often at all. A triumph for them is finishing third in a group and going to the World Cup, which is not nothing, but this is hardware. I think they both brought big teams because they see that opportunity, because they knew Canada and Mexico and the U.S. were not going to bring their big teams. And I'm really excited to see the Jamaica-Mexico game. I think the Jamaicans are going to win. The boys are going to win.
I think they have a strong possibility. That match is at 10 p.m. Before we head into predictions on those matches, Panama beat Qatar 4-0. Qatar's vengeance in the Gold Cup is not going to happen this year. So quite simple as that. So this Wednesday is the semifinals. First match, USA versus Panama, then Jamaica versus Mexico at 10 p.m. Hal, give us a little preview on USA versus Panama. I think it's going to be a close match, maybe closer than Canada. What are your thoughts?
I don't know about that. It's hard to get closer than the Canada game because there was so little generated offensively from both sides. I think the U.S. will win this game. I think they'll score. Panama will give it up to go try and tie the game and then give up a goal and lose 2-0. But Panama is a funny team. That they've got some skill. Physically, I think they're stronger than Canada. They've got some real athletes on that team that will run at you that are very strong in defense. So look, they've brought their best team here, and we know they're capable in that situation. So, but I think the U.S. has had its bobble, its wobble, if you will. And if they can get a goal early, I think that Panama will have to do some things they don't want to do in order to go at the U.S. and tie the game, and they'll expose themselves in the process. So I like the U.S. 2-0 in this game, played in San Diego, I believe.
Yeah, San Diego. Never seen a match there for U.S. team. Interesting. Little history lesson. Panama did beat us in October 10th, 2021. 1-0. I do remember that qualifier. That was pretty interesting. But for the most part, we have beaten them. So we'll see what happens this Wednesday. Jamaica versus Mexico. You know, Jamaica, everyone's talking about the front line, Premier League, and things like that. What do you think is going to happen there?
I'm taking Jamaica 2-1. I think that the Mexicans can't defend them effectively, and they are going to be too proud to try and counter Jamaica. Mexico says to itself, no, we go at Jamaica. They counter against us. But I think that would be a massive mistake. And if they did try to do that, then Jamaica will score more than twice. But I think they will score twice and they'll win.
Well, there you have it. I have Mexico winning, maybe a penalty shootout, maybe a 1-0 or 2-1. Keep it close. Mexico has more of a full squad, I think. Jamaica does have a good front line, but we'll see where it goes. We'll see. This is probably the best test for Mexico yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know that Mexico has played better than they did earlier in the tournament when they looked, frankly, terrible. They've gotten some breaks. They've scored against teams that they should score against. Are we surprised that they advanced out of the quarterfinal? I mean, they should do that like falling off a log. But they had a real tough time breaking down Costa Rica. So I don't know. We'll see. It's one of the things that I think is interesting about the Gold Cup is that we sort of assume that teams like Panama are really up for playing the Americans. And I think they are. I mean, we're sort of one of the bullies of the Confederation. But I think a team like Costa Rica, is up for playing Mexico even more. I mean, they're neighbors in terms of cultural domineering, you know, massive countries to your north. Mexico is much closer and much more culturally influential in Costa Rica than the U.S. is. There's the colonial aspect that of course is not, you know, is not nothing, but I think the Costa Ricans want to beat the Mexicans more than they want to beat us, frankly. And they sold out to do it the other night. They just didn't have enough, but we'll see. We'll see how the Mexicans play. They are under a lot of pressure. If this guy loses to, I guess if he loses Jamaica, he won't lose his job. Lozano, who's coaching them now. Is he related to Chucky Lozano?
I don't know, but I will definitely check on that. And I think he does have like an interim kind of status for the Mexican squad. But if he does win it, he might be more permanent up in the air.
Well, if they get the U.S. Mexico final that CONCACAF wants, and they lose again, I think he's done. But you know, you beat the U.S. in this game, even if it's a B team, maybe you buy yourself 6 months on the job.
There you have it. Semifinals for the Gold Cup this Wednesday, starting at 7:30 p.m. USA Jamaica, then 10 p.m. Mexico versus Jamaica. Will you be watching that Jamaica and Mexico game at 10 p.m.?
That's late, but I think I will. Why not? I might try.
Yeah. No promises.
Hey, look, I have this is a shameless plug for YouTube TV. I have YouTube TV. It's getting a little bit more expensive. They're bleeding us because we love their product, which is a fine television product. But what I do is I tape everything or DVR it. And, if I get tired, I turn it off at halftime. I go to bed. I wake up in the morning and watch the second half of the cup of coffee.
That's not a bad idea. I might have to do that on my phone.
Tips for better living from Hal Phillips, your soccer friend.
Last week, I had an interview with Dr. Joe Mashnick. He is the Hawks broadcaster. He's a referee. He's been a referee, was a goalkeeper. And he brought up Hal Phillips. He has read your book. Generation Zero, Joe Mashnick is, wow, so much history, you know, began playing back in the 60s, and now he's a commentator and a lot of huge influence for this game here.
A huge figure. And, you know, played soccer in this country in the early 1960s, you know, like Bob Gansler did, like Werner Fricker did. And he's of that era. So he coached Generation Zero when they got to be, senior players in the 1980s, but a really super nice guy. You know, I was introduced to him because he was Fox's their goalkeeping expert. And I think he's a referee and ended up being their referee expert. And we see that now quite commonly, like they'll bring in Mark Clattenburg, you know, to explain a ruling to us. That was Joe's role on TV for a long time, but this guy has a much deeper experience when it comes to the game. He played the game. He coached for years at the University of New Haven. He was involved with a lot of, USSF, the Federation Matters, coached a bunch of teams, coached with Gansler in 1989 down at the in Trinidad and Tobago at the game that changed everything that my book is really, you know, all about and leads up to. But really nice guy. And when I did not talk to him for my book, and when it came out, he got in touch with me and said, "This book is great. How come you didn't talk to me?" I got a couple calls like that. Those were always fun. To talk to these people afterwards. And we had a really interesting chat. And actually, I went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut. He coached at the University of New Haven, and we played them. So I definitely played against his New Haven teams before I knew who Joe Mashnick was. And we also realized that I definitely played many games that he refereed in Connecticut, Wesleyan versus the University of Hartford, Wesleyan versus Yale. So interesting chat and a great guy. I'm really glad that he liked the book.
Yeah, very. And he was part of that team that beat Trinidad back in 89. So,
yeah,
quite interested.
He was you can send me a link to all your podcasts. They're archived, right?
Yeah, archived on YouTube. So they're there on the Sportscast, but I'll send you a link.
That'd be great. Take note, people. All of these wonderful podcast products are archived for you on YouTube.
YouTube TV and no, just regular YouTube.
Just regular YouTube.
Well, there you have it. What is the best way to reach you online? Also about your book, Generation Zero.
Well, do check out Generation Zero. It's available at Amazon, at barnesandnoble.com. Just search Generation Zero, Hal Phillips. It'll come up for you. You can get me on Twitter at Mandarin Hal, although I'm starting to see that people are defecting to Blue Sky and Threads a little bit. So we'll see how Twitter fares with this new competition. Competition makes us all better, doesn't it, Santi?
It makes us all stronger and try to put some new features on everything. And we'll have TikTok pluses and all that.
Do you think I should have a TikTok channel? Do you think I should be talking?
You know, I don't know. It's up to you. TikTok's a little crazy for me, so I'm not in it.
I'm not either. But my there's all sorts of ways people are communicating themselves, communicating to people, other people in the ether out there through TikTok. I need to maybe get current.
Yeah, you never know. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. You can also subscribe to our YouTube, The Sportscast. You can see all the interviews we have and all that past podcasts. But anyways, how I am excited for this Gold Cup. Women's World Cup is coming afterwards, so there's more action there. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. I look forward to talking to you in a week. We can talk about Gold Cup and then maybe preview the Women's World Cup, which should be very interesting.
It should be excited. Trinity Rodman making headlines. This was your update.